The King's Pimp. Orso puffed out his cheeks as he rearranged his hand. Awful hand, utter crap.
"I suppose it's comforting, in a way," he murmured, "that some things don't change."
The same table in the same little place they'd always favoured. The same overwrought furniture and the same threadbare drapery. The girls were different and looked even more nervous than they used to. But then the girls were always different and always looked nervous. It all seemed a little sadder than he remembered. But maybe he was the sad one. Oh, and six knights of the body stood about the walls, bristling with weaponry, trying to look as inconspicuous as half a dozen fully armoured men can in a brothel, which proved to be not very. Corporal Tunney didn't appear to notice. He was a man who could play cards through battle, flood or riot, and indeed claimed to have done so on more than one occasion.
"Oh, we're still here,"
and he carelessly nudged a few more coins into the pot.
"Can't see that changing," said Yoke, filling up everyone's glasses again.
Orso really should have told him not to, but he was too drunk to bother.
"Unless the king were to go to war again, of course."
Tunney raised his grey brows significantly at Orso.
"In which case, my standard-bearing services are always at your majesty's disposal."
"Glad to know that my standard, if nothing else, would be competently handled."
Orso tossed his awful hand away with a flourish.
"But I think I've had quite enough of war." "You show more wisdom than your father in that case."
Tunney started to rake in the pot.
"I'll have to stick to procuring whores for your majesty."
"How do you feel about being the king's pimp?"
Orso let go a burp. A royal burp, he supposed. He'd been drinking all day. Hadn't helped. Never did.
"Dare say there are worse jobs."
Tunney gripped his pipe between his yellowed teeth as he shuffled.
"Less marching than in the standard-bearing game, at least. More fighting, mind you. But at least there's the chance of making people happy. Sure you won't join us, Colonel Gorst?"
Gorst shook his head, eyes eternally roving around the dim room as though a Styrian assassin might spring from the dresser at any moment. If one had, Orso never doubted Gorst would have been ready with the utmost extremes of lethal force.
"You two know each other?"
Orso looked from the old bodyguard to the old standard-bearer. They were probably of an age, but otherwise could hardly have been less alike.
"Fought together at the Battle of Osrum," said Tunney, starting to deal. "Well, I say fought. He fought. I just sat there."
Yoke raised a finger.
"I sat there too."
"So you did, boy. And you even managed to do that badly."
Yoke grinned.
"If there's one thing I'm good at, it's doing things badly."
"I hear you sentenced Wetterlant to dangle,"
said Tunney, still flicking out cards.
"I did," said Orso. "Terrible decision."
"Everyone says he's guilty,"
threw in Hildy, who was sitting cross-legged on the dresser between two large candlesticks shaped like naked women.
"Guilty as hell," said Orso.
"So you should have let him off?"
"That would have been a terrible decision, too."
Yoke's face crinkled up with incomprehension, its usual expression.
"So I tried to manage a compromise in which he'd get life in prison, probably to worm his way out when nobody was looking."
"Compromise is always a good idea,"
threw in one of the whores. Orso raised his brows at her, and she blushed and looked at the floor.
"So I thought, but it turned out to be the worst option of all. I made the fatal mistake of trying to improve things, and of trusting Lord Bloody Isha."
He scraped up his hand and started sorting through it.
"A king can only select from a range of wrong choices and bad outcomes."
Another awful hand, even worse than the last.
"A lifetime of trying to ferret out the least worst in a mist of lies, stupidity, and imperfect information."
"Sounds like the army life," muttered Tunney. "Wish you'd come to me first. I could have told you Isha's a snake."
"I should put you on my closed council."
Orso paused a moment, looking at his glass.
"Actually,
I've had worse ideas.
Hide Justice Tunney.
Hildy gave a giggle, and a couple of the girls laughed, and also thought he even heard a snort from one of the knights of the body.
Charmed by the offer, Your Majesty, said Tunney dryly, but corporals as high as I go.
Leo Dan Brock would make a fine king, don't you think? Asked Orso. Don't you think, with those shoulders?
He's pretty,
said Hildy, twisting her old soldier's cap off so her blonde curls popped out in a mop, then twisting it back on.
He's very pretty, said one of the girls, and the others nodded agreement.
Bold, said York, thoughtfully. Very manly.
Reckless,
piped Gorst. Orso turned to him, surprised. It might have been the first time he'd ever heard the man volunteer a word of conversation. He shrugged, armour faintly rattling.
Kings need cool tempers,
and he went back to frowning about the room. Orso turned to the table to find the madam leaning over him in an explosion of heavily daubed perfume and lightly veined bosom.
Might one interest your august majesty?
She traced a wiggly line on the tabletop in a manner that was perhaps intended to be arousing.
In anything?
Orso sighed.
Fucking wise. It is what we do here.
The girl who had extolled the virtues of compromise gave Orso a slightly desperate smile. His shoulders slumped.
Do you know, I'm not sure I could even manage it. It's not you. It's not any of you. It's me. Commoners, nobles, Starrickland, Angland and Middleland, everyone bloody hates me.
Hasn't Westport decided it likes you after all? Asked Hildy. Orso ignored her. He was in a mood only for bad news.
It's a union indeed, united in their dislike for their king.
That's what a king's there for, said Tunney. High or low, we all need someone to blame.
Who do I get to blame? Asked Orso.
Whoever you like, murmured Yoke, frowning at his cards. Your king.
My closed council, my open council, the boy who empties my bloody chamber pot too, I shouldn't wonder. They all think I'm a fucking...
Who cares a shit what they think?
Shouted Tunney, jerking forward and stabbing at Orso with the stem of his pipe.
Long as they bloody obey.
Your king, boy. Not me, not Yoke, and not Leo damn bloody Brock. You. Now, I dare say being king has its downsides, but I can tell you there are worse jobs.
Huh,
grunted one of the girls, adjusting her bodice.
All this bloody self-pity. It was fun when you were a crown prince, but fuck, it doesn't suit a king.
Tunney took a pull on his pipe, but it was dead, and he angrily smacked the ashes out on the tabletop.
Get back to the palace and get on with it. We'll miss you, but these lovely ladies need to make some money, and you're scaring away the guests.
There was a long silence. Orso glanced about the room. Everyone, the girls, the knights, the madam, Hildy and Yoke, even Bremer Dan Gorst, had the same expression. Mouth tight shut and eyes wide open, an expression that seemed to say, I can't believe he said it, but it definitely needed saying.
I see.
Orso tossed down his cards and stood with only a small wobble.
Gorst, we're going back to the palace. Hildy, could you see everyone paid for their time, please?
She frowned over at him.
You already owe me 60. I think we know I'm good for it.
We do?
I'll talk to the Lord Chancellor and have you written into the budget. How's that?
As the knights tramped down the stairs to leave, Orso leaned close to Tunney.
Thank you for that, Corporal.
Without looking up from his cards, Tunney gave a grudging nod.
Any time, Your Majesty.